As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying, "Village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." May God add understanding to the reading of his word. Palm Sunday is a great day. It's lots of fun. In many churches, we wave palm branches around and shout, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name." The people then put cloaks down on the road because they were honoring this king. So we sang, "Hosanna, loud Hosanna." It's a pretty exciting thing to see how God used this time in Jerusalem that was filled with Hebrew pilgrims who were already there to celebrate the Passover. The crowd received Jesus as king. The nation of Israel was living then under Roman occupation. They wanted a savior, a warrior savior that would force the overthrow of the Romans. So the people waved their palm branches and spread their cloaks and shouted Hosanna, which really means save us. It must have been quite a sight. And today we really like along with that, right? We have a great reason to celebrate. We know the rest of the story. We know that Christ is the King. We love the idea of a parade in Jesus' honor, right? However, it wasn't long after that parade through Jerusalem that Israel turned on Jesus. In 5 short days, they went from shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," to "Crucify him, kill him." Here's the rest of the story. Starting after that Last Supper, after Gethsemane, after the late night trial, and after Peter's denial. But this time, I'd like you to listen a little differently than you may have done before. Sit back. Get as comfortable as you can in your seat. And even if you're willing, maybe close your eyes so that you can concentrate and listen. And while you're listening, perhaps you'll be one of the soldiers or the man forced to carry Jesus' cross or one of the disciples or one of the chiefs or simply one of the many observers in the crowd. From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. Hear, breathe, experience the word of God. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival of Passover, Pilate used to prisoner for them anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then Pilate answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was only out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests crowd and to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, and they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They struck his head with a reed upon him and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking Jesus, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry Jesus' cross. It was Simon the Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among him, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads, saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from that cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, the centurion said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Celebrating Palm Sunday with pomp and pageantry, it's great. But another way to think of today is Passion Sunday. Today marks the beginning of the week, the beginning of the journey to the cross, the passion of Christ, the trial, the suffering, the death of Jesus. This is the week we walk through Maundy Thursday, the remembrance of the Last Supper. This year, we have a great opportunity to share in a Seder meal at Faith United in Dewey on Thursday at 6 p.m., as Susan mentioned. You'll need to sign up so that their church can be sure to have enough for the meal. But it is truly an eye-opening experience to see how the traditional Hebrew celebration of Passover foreshadows Jesus, our Messiah. At the Seder, we will celebrate Holy Communion as we remember Jesus gathered his disciples together in that upper room almost 2,000 years ago to share one last Passover meal with them. You remember Passover, and you'll learn more about it this Thursday. Passover celebrates and remembers when God told Moses, while the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, to put lamb's blood over their doorposts so that they would be saved from that last plague that killed the firstborn of all children and animals. Jesus and the disciples were celebrating that feast, commemorating God's provision using lamb's blood that saved God's people. Doesn't that sound familiar? Lamb's blood saving God's people? Jesus, the Lamb of God, died that bloody death on the cross to save you, to save me, to save the whole world. This week we continue our journey through Good Friday. It's the day we remember Christ's death. It's a dark day. You probably remember Mel Gibson's movie Passion of the Christ. It's a very hard movie to watch. It is disturbing. While fully divine, Jesus was also fully human. He felt those lashings. He felt those nails, just like you and I would. I really believe that what Jesus suffered that day was every bit as horrible as the movie portrayed, and probably more. The other day I was reading an account of all Jesus endured on the cross. It was as if I'd read it for the first time. I wept. You know, I've been a pastor for about 18 years now, and a Christ follower a lot longer than that, but still the whole concept of what Jesus suffered for us, for me, is overwhelming. So why on earth do we call it Good Friday? Well, there's a reason. There's really only one explanation. It's because we know the end of the story. We know about the empty tomb that Mary found on Sunday morning. We know that Jesus rises from the grave. But if we know the end of the story, why put ourselves through this rest of the story? Well, I think that it's really important for everyone to take the journey from the joy of Palm Sunday and that triumphal entry through the valley, through the pain, through the reality of what Christ suffered during Holy Week. Oh, it would be so much easier to jump right from that high of the parade through Jerusalem with the crowds shouting Hosanna to the great news of Easter morning. But if we do that, do we truly honor what Jesus did for us? If we don't go through the hard times, acknowledging the pain and suffering of our Lord, how can we truly value his gift of life after death? His gift of redemption. His gift of salvation. This week, please, join me as together with Jesus, we all journey to the cross. Thanks be to God. Amen.